Can you remember who Jesus is? Can you remember what God has done for you? Do you know it's time for us to remember and see what He's done for you? And then the next thing I thought about was, He did it before and He'll do it again. How many of you know that God's done something in your life? Has He done something in your life? Do you know He's already done something in your life? Do you know He's done it before? Do you know He's going to do it again? Oh, I'm getting ready for what God has in store for me. I don't know about you. Did you know that Jesus will provide all, say all of your needs? Do you know that? I mean, sometimes, you know what? I mean, if we're honest, how many of y'all are honest here? We don't have too many liars, right? If you're honest, I just have to ask you this question. Watch this. Most of us don't really believe that God will supply all of our needs. Because we don't live that way. We just kind of waiting. We just kind of thinking, well, you know, God, you're going to supply some of my needs. I think this is how we read that scripture sometime in Philippians 4 and 19. It says, my God shall supply. I think sometimes we read it, my God shall supply some of my needs. According to His riches in Christ Jesus. And according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Oh, we know that the scriptures are true. Oh, we know it and we repeat it and we quote it. And we sometimes struggle with believing it, though. We sometimes struggle with really, really allowing ourselves to decrease and let God increase and let God take care of it. Because too many of us don't like to lose control. We want to have control of our life. We want to say what we're going to do, when we're going to do it, how we do it, instead of saying, Jesus, let it be your will, Lord. We want to change God's will to do. Say, Lord, this is what I want to do. And I want you to bless it. I'm here to tell you that it doesn't work that way. How many of you found out it don't work that way? The Lord tells us to listen to my voice and watch what I tell you to do and listen. And watch this. This is the tough one for most of us. Obey. Because the word says obedience is better than sacrifice. Oh, Lord, look what I've done for you. Look what I did, Lord. I tithed, Lord. Lord, I came to church. Aren't you glad I made it today? Hallelujah. Lord, look what I did for you. Well, I'm here to tell you that it's time for us to realize that it's what God has done for us. Say amen. Watch this. We know the scripture says in John chapter 1 and 3, it says, all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. Do we realize that? That God is in and on and all through all things. But do we believe, say believe, do we believe He is our provider? Do we believe that He is going to carry you through, say this too? But not this one, right? He's going to leave you out. All of them. Luke chapter 12 and verse 22 says it like this. Then He said to His disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry, say worry, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat, nor what your body, about what you shall put on. Life, I'm going to stop there for a second and repeat that one more time. Life, say life. Life is more than food. And the body is more than clothing. Sometimes we are so consumed, now it's talking about food and clothing, but sometimes we get so caught up with what we have to obtain things in life that we don't really surrender and follow Jesus, that we're trying to achieve something that we have said in our minds to achieve. Watch this. It says in verse 24, it says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which is neither their storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. How much, say how much? More valuable, much more valuable are you than the birds. Wow. I have to stop right there. Because there's about a dozen folks in here right now, that you have not realized that you are valuable in God's eyes. You are valuable in God's eyes. Boy, that's a word for about a dozen folks this morning. If that's you, say amen. Do you know you're more valuable than the birds? Do you know that He places a high value on your heart and soul and mind? Do you know that? Wow. Sometimes we forget and we're already going and doing our own things. Sometimes we forget and we are already He's already doing things for us in our future. He's already setting things up so that we will fall in line. Say, remember. He's setting things up. Do you know He did it before? Do you know He's going to do it again? Do you know He's going to do it again? Say, amen. Oh, man, if He's done it before, He will do it again. God will provide. Say, God will provide. Now watch one more thing. Jesus will provide. Say, Jesus will provide. Watch this. He already has provided. Watch it. Jesus is my. Say, my. Jehovah Jireh. Yahweh will provide. Do you know that? Sometimes we might think, oh, it's our boss that's giving us our check, and I'm so thankful for that. And that's a good thing to do. But how many of you know God placed that boss in your life? It's not Him that provided your income. It's Jesus. He made things available for you. Sometimes we think, well, it's the government because we get that government check. Hallelujah. And we want to say, oh, it's the government. We're so glad to get that. But how many of you know it's the Lord God Almighty that made it available for you? Amen? Say amen. Do you know sometimes that people think that they are their own provider? Look what I have done. Well, we can say, look what He has done for us. But when we start looking at ourselves and lifting ourselves up, and look how good I am and look what I've done, guess what we are struggling with? Say, pride. There's a lot of folks that look what I have accomplished in life. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with, you know, taking a little pride in yourself. But when you start boasting about it and you're not giving God the glory, say, God. When you start looking and telling other people, look, if it wouldn't be for me, is that a dangerous statement? Amen. Look what I have done for myself. If we're looking to a person to be our provider, how many of you know that you will be sorely disappointed? I'll just have to say it like this. Has people let you down? Come on, say it loud. Will they let you down? Who won't let you down? Jesus! He'll never let you down. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you, the word says. Do you know who you need to trust in? I put my heart, my trust in the name of the Lord. Amen? People will let you down, but this is what sometimes we think that person won't let us down. Just say, come, Holy Spirit. You see, we've got to learn to enlighten ourselves. We've got to understand that God wants to talk to your spirit. And when we allow ourselves to be deceived and we allow the devil to come in and lie to us and say, no, it's this person. No, it's that person. No, it's this and that, or it's myself. We have lied to ourselves. The word says, do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. So whatsoever a man shall sow, that he may also reap. How many of you are ready to start reaping a good reward? Well, sow the good seed. Amen. That's all we got to do. Start sowing the good seed. Say, good seed. Oh, Jesus, come on. A person was never meant to carry your load. How many of you know that? You know what? Sometimes we want to put our burden, say our burden. Oh, let's make it personal. My burden. I want to put all my burdens on Bob. Now, he's a big guy and he's strong, but guess what? He was never meant to carry my burdens. Now, can he help me pray through them? Absolutely. But I'm not going to put my trust and hope in Bob, although I love you, Bob. I'm not going to put my trust and hope in Bob. My trust and hope is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you know that's who we need to trust? God is so good. He wants to encourage you and realize that He wants us to realize that He is there for us when the people won't be. They will let you down. They will mess up. Watch this. 1 Peter 5:7. Brother Jonathan, you want to take me down a little bit? Because I think, am I a little bit too loud? No? Okay. I thought I was loud. I was fixing to get excited. So, I mean, 1 Peter 5:7 says, carry all. Say, carry. Casting. I'm sorry. Let me read it. Casting. Say, casting. All your cares upon someone else. Cast all your cares upon, who's Him? Why? For He cares for me. Say me. You see, again, sometimes we read scriptures and we say, well, you know, I know Jesus cares for, I done lost your name. Stephanie, God, I go, uh-oh, Stephanie. God cares for Stephanie, but he don't care for me. God cares for Bob, but he don't care. Sometimes we will listen to the lie of the enemy, and he will lie to us and say that we are not worthy. How many of you know Jesus did not die for junk? He died for me. Say me. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. But look, remember what he's done. Look what he's done for me. Some of us read the scripture. Cast only what you can't handle on him. For if you can't fix it for yourself, then he'll help you. I have heard people with that mentality. In case you didn't hear that, I'm going to read it one more time. Watch this. Cast only what you can't handle on him. For if you can't fix it for yourself, then he'll help you. Oh my goodness, that's not what the scripture says, does it? It says cast all, say all. Not some of it, but all. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He cares for you. He loves you. God loves you. Can you say amen? Watch this. Psalms chapter 20 and verse 7 says this. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. Now, this is a long time ago, so they're talking about chariots and horses. But today we would read that some trust in our cars or our vehicles and some trust our motorbikes. I'll just say we put our trust in things. But we shall remember, say remember, the name of the Lord. Some may trust in horses. Some may trust in chariots. But we will trust in the name of Jesus is what that scripture is saying. We need to learn to trust him. And, you know, like I said, we believe sometimes we struggle with our beliefs. So we cry out like the disciples said, Lord, help my unbelief. Have you ever been there? Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief because I'm struggling. Anybody struggle? Anybody ever struggle with believing everything? You just kind of have. That's just the flesh and that's just a lie of the enemy. And that's how we've been raised. And we've taught that we've got to do it ourselves. And you got to get up and God helps those who help themselves. Right. That's scriptural. Oh, come on. That ain't in the Bible, Lewis. I thought for sure it was in the Bible. Somebody told me that. Didn't I believe it? I thought I did. Anyway, it's not in there. The mentality is yes, you're supposed to get up and do stuff. But, say but, you put your trust and hope in the name of the Lord God Almighty. Amen? Oh, sometimes we trust in our own abilities and our own success. And, oh, we think our success happens because of our ability and our talent. But watch this. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 7. This is what the Bible says, in case you didn't know it. This is what the Bible says. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 7. It says, the Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low one and brings up another. How many of you know the Lord's in command? The Lord's in charge. He knows exactly where you are. He knows what you need. He knows what it's going to take to get you to where he wants you to be. How many of you know he's working on me? Can you say me? Do you know he's working on you? He's working on each and every one of us in our own ways. That because we are all individuals. I was talking to somebody this week about kids. And I said, you know, I had three children. And in the process, all three of them were different. I had to do different things to please one than the other. I had to do a different thing to make something happen. And each one was an individual. And just like that, I realized that so are we individuals. And God and each and every one of us is our own specific person. And God knows what it's going to take to motivate you to get you to where he wants you to be. Sometimes we're stubborn, though, huh? Have you any? Well, y'all didn't agree with that one, though. All right, let me try that again. Sometimes we are stubborn, aren't we? That's where the amen goes. You know you are, okay? Sometimes you think you know it all. I mean, did I say that? Sometimes we think that we've got this all figured out. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus knows where we are. He knows what you need. So he's bringing things and he's bringing situation and he's bringing people. Say people. He brings people into your life to get you to recognize where we are. Have you ever seen somebody and you went, uh-oh, am I like that? I do that all the time now in the store. Matter of fact, the last 3 days we were watching TV and I told Carol three times, this guy said, man, I'm 60 years old. And I went, 60? Do I look that old? I'm 60.
that guy looks a whole lot older than me.
Have you ever did that? Walking through the store and you see all your friends and you say, honey, do we look that old? Oh, my. We are all individual. Remember, God's doing something. Amen? Romans chapter 9, watch this. Romans chapter 9 and 21 says, does the potter have power over the clay? Now, in case you didn't read that, I'm going to go back and say that one. Does the potter have power over the clay? He's the potter. We are the clay. Do you know he's making us a new vessel? He's creating in us a new thing. Say new thing. How many of you got some new things going on in your life right now? God, open the doors. Let the new things shine. Wait a minute. How many of y'all got some new things going on? In case, if you don't have some new things, we're going to have to break your pot and make you new. I mean, some people are just old clay pots, and you've got to get watered up and lubricated up and remolded. Amen? How many of you ready to be remolded into what He wants you to be instead of what you want to be? Huh?
Yeah, but I'm not ready for that. I just been doing what I want to do, and I like it. Ding. I'm here to tell you that Jesus loves you, and He's doing a work inside of you, and He's molding you. He's the potter. We are the clay. Can we just possibly realize that He's making us into a new vessel? Have you found that sometimes God just don't do the things Let me slow down. Have you found out that God sometimes don't do things the way you think they should be done? There you go. I got it out. Have you found out that in the process of life, things don't go necessarily the way you would plan them to be? Sometimes we don't even like it. We get mad. I go, why are you doing? Why me, God?
Have you ever said, why me, God, anybody?
Why do I have to go through this? It's terrible.
Put your hand on next to your neighbor there. Put it on and say, you're going to make it, okay? You're going to make it. Just tell them, you're going to make it. It'll be all right. If you're hanging on to stuff, let it go. It's not worth the trouble. I'm just letting you know right now, let it go. And get before the Lord and watch what He has for you, amen? Sometimes God don't do things the way we wished He would, amen? The Bible says it like this. Watch this. You know the scripture. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Have you ever heard it? Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For the heavens, just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your thoughts. My thoughts and your thoughts. Have you ever read the story about Jesus feeding the 5,000? Anybody ever read that story? If you haven't, go back and read it. Have you ever read the story of Jesus walking on the water? You read that story? In case you don't know, it follows like right behind it on them two stories. Have you ever seen the connection between those two stories? Watch this. I'm fixing to connect it for you, so it's going to blow you away. If He's done it before, He'll do it again. That's where that's coming from. And also, that's where I said, what's in your boat? And you'll see that in just a minute. And the apostles, watch this, Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. We're going to go back to where Jesus was feeding the 5,000. And the apostles gathered together with Jesus and told Him all the things both that they have done and what they have taught. This is an aside note. You know what aside means? It's not exactly what I'm preaching on today, but it was so good I couldn't pass it up, so I'm going to tell you about it, okay? That's an aside note, okay? Here comes an aside note, and it has to do everything with this scripture right here. How many of you know that are we giving God a report of what we're doing? Uh-oh. Are we giving a report? Are we, when we pray, we say, Lord, to this week I've done this, this, and this for You. Uh-oh. Well, this is what the disciples did. They went out, and they were preaching and teaching, and they came back, and they gave the report. Jesus, let me tell you what I did this week. How many of you know He already knows? But it's good for us to hear it. It's also good for us to hear it because when we do report it, then we also, He reminds us what we need to do. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So I'm just going to encourage you as an aside note to encourage yourself to report to the Lord. Look what I've done. Look what the Lord has done through me, say me, this week. Give you a report to the Lord. Now, back on target. He said to them, watch this. And He said to them, come aside yourselves to this desert place
and rest for a while. The desert here means wilderness place, okay? If you ever looked that up, it's not necessarily a desert, dry, hot. It's talking about a alone place. Get alone with the Lord, amen? And he says, rest a while. How many of you ready for a little bit of rest in your life? Come on, if that's you, raise your hand, because the Lord said some people need a rest. Say amen. Amen. Father, you see the hands of the folks that need a rest in you, oh God. Lord, grant it. Grant it in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, I just set you up in case you didn't know it. Because you remember what I said earlier? There's a way that seems right unto a man. Okay. There's a way that seems right. Sometimes the Lord don't do things the way we think he should. And that's what's happening here. He's telling his disciples, come aside by yourselves in this desert place and rest a while. Say, rest a while. Oh, for there are many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. How many times? I don't know about you, but I don't miss me too many meals. I always got time to eat. But anyway, you're so busy sometimes in your life, you don't even have time to eat, okay? For as the heavens, remember this, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Say that. What? Do you know Jesus' ways are higher than yours? Okay, so when, say when it, whatever it is, happens, don't complain. Realize that God's ways is higher. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. Watch this. Now, they supposed that they were going to get by themselves a quiet place for, right? He was trying to get them away to a quiet place, right? Amen? Alone time. Watch this. Mark chapter 6 and 32 down there. So they departed to the desert place in a boat by themselves. But, say but. Oh, here you go. See, Jesus always got some buts in there. But the multitude saw them and departed, and many of them knew him, and they ran in front into the city and arrived there before them and came together to him. Down to verse 34. Mark 6, chapter 34. And Jesus, when he came out of the boat, he saw the great multitude and was moved with compassion. Are you moved with compassion in your life? For them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. They were like a lot of things. They was busy going along, and they just all doing their own thing. And the Lord says, there's something these folks need. They need a shepherd. Amen? Because they were like a sheep. But I bet you, watch this, God was moved with compassion. But I believe that the disciples got in the boat thinking, man, we're going to go take a retreat. We're going up to the mountain to take a retreat. We're going to have a good time in the name of the Lord. We're going to rest and eat and have just pray together and woo, revival. And oh, boy, it's going to be great. And then Jesus says, wait a minute, there's some folks over here that need some attention. How many of you know the disciples probably was not moved with the same compassion that Jesus was? What? Wait a minute. You're going to go back and start a new revival. Wait, what? That we were going to rest. I'm just telling you the way I read things. I mean, and he began to teach them with many things. Now, I'm going to pause right here because I believe that there's some folks not understanding what's happening here. That Jesus is teaching the multitude, right? How many of you know he's teaching the disciples something as well? He's teaching us in the midst of our life, in the midst of turmoil and trouble and struggles and having to have problems. God's teaching us something. But if we will just stop complaining and start looking for what he's teaching us, we won't have to stay there as long. Amen. Can you say amen? How many of you know that once you realize that God was trying to teach us something, we got the point, then he says, okay, let's move on to the next problem. Amen. How many of you got a few problems? Don't raise your hand. Then the day was far spent. When the day was far spent, the disciples came back to him to this desert place, and already the hour is late. I thought we were supposed to be resting, Lord. Send them away, that they might go into the surrounding country and village, but buy themselves some bread, for they have nothing to eat. But he answered and he said to them, you give them something to eat. Are you kidding me? Come on, Jesus. We're out in the desert place. We don't have no food. Oh, amen. Watch what he says. Then he said to them, shall we go to, if we go and buy 200 denarius worth of bread and give it to them to eat? Should we go ahead and do some more? Some of us complain when God tells us to do a little more. Oh, my goodness. But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? How many of you know God provides? You see, because there again, they were looking into their own strength. They were looking at, oh, I must provide for the multitude. How many of you know you don't have to provide? God is the provider. Amen? Can you say Jehovah Jireh? My provider. What a mighty God. Watch this. But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Of course, you know the story where they said, we have found this lad over there and he had, you know, two fish and five loaves. God provided. They found out and said, there's five and two fish. Five loaves and two fishes. Jesus will provide. Mark chapter 6 and 41. Then he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes in Mark chapter 6, 41. Gotcha. He took the five loaves and the two fishes and he took and looked up to heaven and he blessed them. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have provided. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have provided. Now, Lord, am I not only going to thank you for it, but I'm going to share it. I'm going to take what you give me and break it and give a portion to somebody else that's in need as well. Uh-oh, he took it, he blessed it, and he broke it. And the loaves, and he gave them to his disciple and set them in the two fishes, and he divided them all. So that all ate and were filled. Everybody ate and everybody was filled. You see, Jesus will provide all of your needs, not just some of them, but all of them, when you rely upon him and you put it in his hands. Watch this. Then they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments. Man, can you say 12 baskets? That's a lot of bread. And the fish, he took up the fish and they said, watch this. Now, those who had not eaten the loaves, and those who had eaten the loaves and the fishes were about 5,000 men. Now, they counted the men, but do you realize that there was also women and children? Do you realize that, right? So there was a whole lot of folks there. Maybe 20,000 people that ate. Oh, my goodness. Do you know God provides? He provided all. The scripture comes to mind, Ephesians 20. It says, to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. How many of you can think pretty big? How many of you know God's bigger than that? Oh, but do we believe? The question that comes to my mind, though, when I'm reading this story is, why? I don't know if you ever thought this, but why did they pick up the fragments? Why was that important that they picked up the fragments and put it in the basket? Why did they pick it? I mean, Jesus just multiplied it. So, you know, next time he could, if he did it before, he could do it again, right? So why did he have to pick up the fragments? And I've heard this said, boy, they didn't want to waste nothing. No, we'll get to that in just a minute. But why did they pick up the fragments? The disciples were about to learn a lesson by picking up the fragments and putting it in the boat. Now, Jesus told them to go get in the boat. Watch. Mark in chapter 6 and 45. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, where he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to a mountain to pray. How many of you know it was time to get some alone time? You see, he went to the mountain to pray. He got alone before the Lord. Now, when evening had come, the boat was in the middle of the sea. You know this storm, right? Where he walks on the water and he shows up in the midst of the seas. In the midst of our problems, how many of you know Jesus will show up? Now it was evening came and the boat was in the middle of the sea and they were alone, and he was alone on land. Jesus was alone on the land. Then he saw. Jesus saw him out in the middle of the sea because he's omnipotent. He can see all things. This is again. They were straining at the rowing. He saw them straining at rowing, and the wind was against them. How many of you know when you're going through your troubles, when you're struggling, when you're having a hard time getting through, and you're trying to figure out, and all of the winds that's blowing against you comes, how many of you know Jesus knows right where you are? He knows exactly where you are. He sees you in the midst of all of your troubles, and you're thinking, why don't you fix this, God? He says, because I'm trying to teach you something, amen. Can you say amen? How many of you don't like to learn? Say amen.
I got a few honest folks here. In the midst of your troubles, in the midst of your problems, in the midst of the struggling and the rowing and the wind and everything seems to be going against you and I can't help it. I can't take it no more. And the Lord is teaching you something right in the midst of that. He's teaching us something. Watch this. Now it was about the fourth watch of the night and he came to them walking on the sea. How many of you know Jesus will come and show up right when you're not expecting it? He shows up right when you're not expecting it. Watch this. Listen to what it says. He came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. Now, how many of you know that if you see the Messiah coming in your situation, you see the Savior coming, and all of a sudden you see him like, you're like, hey, wait a minute. I'm here. Where are you going? Well, that's exactly what Jesus wanted them to do. Peter says, hey, if it's you, Jesus, bid me to come out there. That's in another gospel. You got to go find that out yourself. It was about the fourth watch, and Jesus came across the sea, and he was about to pass. And Jesus wanted you, say me. He wants us to invite him into our situation. You see, he's a gentleman. He's not going to force his way. Say free will. In case you never heard that, I'm going to just say it one more time. Free will. You see, you've got to ask Jesus to come on into my situation. Oh, Lord, you know where I am. Why you let me go through this? Because you needed to learn to ask. Say ask. Seek. Knock. Ask. Seek. Knock. Do you know we have to ask, seek, and knock? Oh, well, Lord, you know where I am. Why you want me to ask? You know what my need is. Give it to me. It's about communion. It's about asking. It's about communicating. It's about talking to the Lord. How many of you know when you're going through some... Have you ever been through some hard things, hard problems at work, and you get home, and what do? Many of us vent on our spouse. Well, you won't believe what they did at work today. They did that, they did that, they did other. How many of you ever did that? Don't lie, raise your hand. And the Lord wants you to bring your report. Say report to him. He wants you to invite him into your problems. He wants you to invite him in the midst of your struggle. When the wind is rough and you're troubled and you're trying to figure it out. The Lord says, why don't you talk to me right now and I'll show you the way out. Amen? Amen. Okay, watch this. And when they saw him in the sea, they supposed it was a ghost. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes Jesus don't show up the way we think he's going to show up, does he? All of a sudden, some person that you don't like shows up and they're trying to give you the word of the Lord and you're not going to receive it because you don't like them. It's a ghost. They were fearful. They were worried. How many of you know Jesus will use people you don't like to get you to see what he wants to do in your life? Anybody? Have you ever found people annoying you at the right time? I mean, they pull out in front of you in your car and they're driving in the left lane and the right lane's wide open. Do you go to Walmart when you get to the register? Of course, now you got your free thing. You go do your own. But you go there and the paper runs out. Or they're exchanging money. Or somebody's shift is over and you got to wait. Okay, thank you. Come on. I'm glad your shift's over now. Let's change shifts while we got all these people standing in line. How many of you know the Lord's working on your heart? He wants us to have compassion on the crowd. Say compassion. Oh, how many of you know that you got to do your job? You got to do what God has said. Sometimes we don't recognize Jesus is working in our situation. Sometimes we just don't see it because we're caught up in our own world. We're too busy. Oh, if I could just, boy, I wish they'd hurry up. Don't they know I got something? Carol used to tell me this all the time. I used to be the world's worst for somebody pulling in front of me. I would go ballistic. I can't believe they pulled in front of me. And my wife used to look at me and she'd say, they knew it was you. And I went, yeah, I guess so, huh? So now when they pull out in front of me, I said, they knew it was me. I'm still working on forgiving them, but I'm going to get there. Watch this. For they all saw him and were troubled when they saw Jesus. Sometimes in the midst of Jesus doing something for us,
we get troubled. God, that's not how I want you to answer this. Lord, if that person, why didn't you just burn them up, Lord? Why don't you just turn them or burn them, Lord? Have compassion. Say kindness. Say the word love. My goodness, if we could learn to get past the hatred in our world today and come to a realization that is the devil trying to destroy what God is doing. Don't get caught up in the being a part of the death, destruction, the killing. Oh, my goodness, do you realize that Satan's job is to kill and destroy and to corrupt your life, your marriage, your church, your whatever, your relationships? My goodness, do you realize that the devil is trying to destroy you, but Jesus came. And he shows up sometimes in a way that you didn't expect it. Don't think it's a ghost, but cry out to him like Paul did and say, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come on the water. How many of you ready to do a little water walking? Amen. Watch this. And immediately they talked to him and said to him, and immediately he talked to them and said to them, be of good cheer, for it is I. Do not be afraid. You see, in the midst of all your fear, we got to learn to hear the Lord's voice. How many of you know the word says that my sheep hear my voice and they know me? Do you know when Jesus shows up and he starts talking to your heart, all of a sudden there's something different in your life? All of a sudden you realize, slap yourself. And you're like, oh my goodness, look what happened. How did I get to here? Why did I do that? Why didn't I see you, Jesus? Your provision. Say you're my provider, Lord. And when he went up, watch this. And when he went up into the boat, the wind ceased. How many of you know when Jesus shows up, the problems, when you lift Jesus up, he draws all men to him. When you lift Jesus, all of a sudden you're like that fella that in Isaiah 6, when he says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And woe is me, for I am undone. Have you ever been in that position where when you got into his presence, you didn't realize, you quit worrying about that fella that hurt your feelings. You quit worrying about that person that offended you. You quit worrying about all the cares of this world. And when you saw God, when you saw Jesus, all of a sudden you went, oh my goodness, for I am undone. My goodness. You quit worrying about everything else. And you start looking at Jesus. I haven't been lifting up Jesus. I haven't been in his presence. Because in his presence is fullness of joy. And if we're not full of joy and we're miserable and we're frustrated and we're depressed, how many of you know we're not in his presence? Because in his presence is fullness of joy. Do you know he's faithful? Do you know he didn't leave you? Do you know, did you cast your cares on him, for he cares for you? Do you know he loves you? He loves you so much. Then he went up onto the boat and the wind ceased. And when they were greatly amazed at themselves. Behold, measure and marvel. They were beyond measure. They were a marvel. They were like, wow, God, you are so awesome, man. You stopped all this the minute you showed up. Wow, look what the Lord has done. For they had not. I'm connecting the two stories right now in case you need a heads up. You ready? Here it comes. For they had not understood about the loaves, because their hearts were hardened. In the midst of their trouble, in the midst of their worry, in the midst of all of the problems, in the midst of all the situations, they forgot that Jesus provided all of what they needed. They forgot that he provided the fishes. They forgot that he provided the loaves. They forgot. Say, I forgot. And in the midst of our trouble, here's where the two stories connect right here. Don't forget. Don't forget what he's already done. Say, already done. Do you know he died for you? Do you know that he gave you life and gave it to you more abundantly? So when the enemy and when the enemy and when the enemy comes in like a flood, what do you need to do? The Bible says raise up a standard. That means raise up a flag. That means look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Now I'm going to praise His name. You see, and too many of us are looking around at everything else that's going on. I scratched my throat singing so good. We're looking around. Hang on just a minute. I scratched it good. No. I'm good. It's coming back. They hardened their hearts. They was not remembering what was already in the boat. There it is. That's why I almost named it, What's in Your Boat. Do you remember what Jesus already did for you? Is it in your boat? Or did you leave it? Why did you pick up the fragments of what happened before in your past? Why do you have remembrance of all of those wonderful things that God has already done for you? That's your fragments. So that way you can look back and say, He did it before. He's going to do it again. Hallelujah. He is our provider. He is the Jehovah Jireh. He won't leave you like He found you. He won't leave you. He is King. He is the Lord God Almighty. He pulled you up out of the mire and clay. He set your feet upon the rock. Are you glad? Can you say happy Jesus? That was a different one, huh? Watch this. They didn't understand about the loaves because their hearts were hardened. Look at this. Look in Matthew 17 and 17. It says this. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I put up with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. How many of you know God sometimes gets a little frustrated with our unbelief? Huh? What are you still hardening yourself hardened? Do you realize that, come on, God did it before, He's going to do it again. Don't get caught up in the looking at, well, it's me. I just never. We use that word a lot, you know. It never works out for me. Never. Yes, it does. God provided all kind of great things for your life. Can you say amen? We use things like, He never did it, but I never get. Quit lying. You know the devil's lying to you and you're falling right into it and thinking, woe is me. And I go, oh, God's doing something. Say something. He's doing something in you. Say me. He's doing something in us. He's creating the church. He's establishing it. He's building it. We're not building it. Some people think, well, I'm building this church. Hallelujah. No, you're not. It's Jesus who's doing it. Amen. Do you know Jesus is building the church and the gates of hell will not prevail? That's scripture. That's what it says. Don't get caught up in the well. I'm here to tell you, don't harden your hearts. I'm here to tell you this morning, God's saying, do not harden your hearts and think it's about you. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about His righteousness. It's about what we are doing for Him. Are we giving a report? Look what the Lord has done. Look what He's already done. We're fixing to celebrate 40 years of what God did in Braveland, Mississippi. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I'm really excited about it. 40 years. Man, this church is closing their doors right and left all over the place. But God is faithful. Say amen. Do you know He's faithful? He is a mighty God. He will provide the loaves and the fishes. He will provide. He goes before us. He's behind us. How many of you know He's in front of you? And He's already setting things up right in front of you. He did it before and He'll do it again. Amen? Will you stand on your feet, please? And I need you to repeat this with me. He did it before. He will do it again. In me. And in you. Oh, come on. Are you ready? You know that God is good. Do you know He reigns forevermore? Do you know He's pulled you up out of the miry clay? Do you know He saved your soul? Do you know sometimes we don't realize how important it is to remember what Jesus did for you. Say me. Father, we thank you for another wonderful day. Lord, we ask you to pour out your spirit, Lord, right now. Stir our hearts. Lord, let this word be driven down into our minds and hearts. Lord, let us not be caught up in the stuff, in the cares and the worries of this world. But Lord, let us lift you up, for you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All things exist because you exist. Lord, so we surrender right now, afresh and anew. If you've never given your life to Christ, now's the time for you to do it. Say, Lord, today I surrender my life. Lord, I ask you to take care of me when I can't take care of myself. Oh, it's quiet out there. Father, you say, well, I already did this. We'll do it again because we need reviving. Amen. Jesus, your word says that if I confess with my mouth and if I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that I will be saved today, tomorrow, and forever if I put my trust in you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, and everyone say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a great day. God bless you. Hope to see you next Sunday.